Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
It sure is. First off, we should probably address that we have a guest with us.
Yes, we do.
We have a presence in the room.
So, studio audience.
Studio audience of one person.
It's really sad, guys.
This is...
Actually... right now we have a full house. All the chairs are full.
Yes, because she's sitting in my desk chair with her feet propped up on a folding chair. Full house.
Full house.
Sold out completely. We are at capacity. We're doing better than SmackDown right now.
Poor SmackDown.
Poor SmackDown. But yeah, our guest is the previously known as Joel's unidentified girlfriend. She's here with us. Not necessarily being a part of the show, she's just here. Hi.
So,
hi.
We'll see how long this lasts.
Yes. First off the bat, it's not really a wrestling note, but I did want to address it, okay. Put it out there.
Okay.
See what bounces back.
Okay.
Okay. Joel, I did something a few days ago that directly affected you and I wanted to apologize for.
Yes.
We gathered for a recording of our WrestleMania series. I'm not going to say which one because I don't want to date it.
Mm-hmm.
See, look at me being professional.
Good job.
I accidentally read a story on the internet about the show Breaking Bad, and I blurted out loud what the headline was, and completely ruined the ending of Breaking Bad for Joel. I tried to defend myself and, you know, do the whole, you know, it's been a week, so get over it kind of thing. But then I legitimately felt bad. Because it was a great, great ending to a great show. And I know, I didn't know at the time you weren't there yet, and I thought, I just assumed.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, Joel.
That's okay, I accept your apology.
Okay.
It's okay.
Like, there was this awkward, like a good awkward 20 minutes after we, like, it happened, we kind of argued for a little bit, and then, like, for 20 minutes it was just awkward silence where none of us said anything, and there was just a WrestleMania playing.
Which made that WrestleMania seem so long.
It really did.
It was our first 8-hour WrestleMania.
So, we're going to press through this, and we're going to get better, and we're going to make it, Joel.
But if there are snippy comments, that's why. Or more snippy comments than usual. There's a lot of snippy comments.
Well, yeah. Especially whenever I make dumb jokes.
Yes. Every time you make a dumb joke.
I know.
All right.
Okay, wrestling. Let's go to wrestling.
Yes, because we're at 2 out of 3 of our way too many pay-per-views.
Yes.
Yes. Battleground.
Battleground was this past Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Overall feeling for the podcast. No, I'm sorry, podcast. Pay-per-view.
Overall feeling.
Overall feeling was. Pretty positive. I mean, I know the ending kind of put a lot of sour taste in some people's mouths, and depending on who you ask, you know, that ruined it for them.
Yeah.
It didn't go that far. It didn't completely ruin it for me. Obviously, there were some really good high points, not so high points, and just low, completely low.
Yeah.
So, but so I mean, you're gonna get that with any pay-per-view. But overall, I had a positive feeling about this. I wasn't surprised by the ending, and, you know, I wasn't necessarily heated about it either.
I did not have a positive feeling about this, but good for
really?
You.
Really?
I mean, I have a bad feeling about this. It's just, it felt like an expensive Raw, as usual.
Yeah, and, I mean, it could have been worse. It could have opened up with a 20-minute Triple H promo, like Night of Champions did.
No, I remember.
So, there's that.
I mean, it's the kind of thing where it's like...
But I thought there was some really good positive notes in this.
Alright. It's just there's a lot of, like, sitting here, and I feel like I'm telling myself, this was good. They did a good job. They tried. And then I'm like, remember SummerSlam, you guys?
I mean, okay, SummerSlam. Not everything is going to be SummerSlam, though.
I know, but SummerSlam was SummerSlam.
SummerSlam was really great, pretty much top to bottom.
And we're still in that, like, sweet SummerSlam afterglow.
So we're in the post-SummerSlam pocket of suck?
I guess. I didn't know there was one, but...
It's like the really tiny pocket that's in your jeans that you really don't know what it's for. Yeah.
Yeah,
The pocket within a pocket? Uh-huh. Yeah.
I know a pocket within a pocket that only fits a thumb.
So it's a pocket within a pocket of suck.
Sure, it's an Inception pocket of suck.
Okay. And,
The first head shake of the night.
No, it's just the first one you've seen.
All right. Let's get on the card.
All right.
Let's fly through this one. Quick.
First off, we got the kickoff match, but I'm sure Joel is completely enthralled by.
Why was this kickoff match longer than 39 seconds?
I don't know. Because, you know, if as everyone will remember from Joel's rant last week, is Dolph Ziggler needed to completely just run through Sandow and not make it difficult at all.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, we got a 10-minute match that pretty much Ziggler kind of had a comeback through.
Yeah.
But Ziggler ended up winning, ultimately. With the Famouser, actually. He didn't actually use the zigzag or anything, yeah. So. There's that.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's like, he won, so technically I'm happy, but...
Yeah, but...
I'm not happy.
No, I know. It did nothing.
No.
You know? Yeah, it did nothing. moving on to the actual show, to actually, you know, something.
Yeah.
Alberto Del Rio, he defeated Rob Van Dam by submission in their hardcore match. I know, it's laughable.
I forget this is a hardcore match.
It was a hardcore match, for anyone who forgot. I did make a point while we were watching. Basically, just it's hard to call this a hardcore match when Rob Van Dam is involved in it.
Yeah.
Because by comparison, by comparison to his ECW matches that he's had, this quote-unquote hardcore match was a pillow fight.
Yeah. It's like, I think Van Dam has probably gone on tandem bike rides that are more hardcore.
Yes.
Than this exact match went.
Absolutely. He's taken naps that resulted in more bleeding than this match. And by the way, if your naps are resulting in bleeding, you should see a doctor immediately.
Please.
Thank you.
It ended by submission, and I never have a super great taste in my mouth after a submission
victory.
Right.
Especially when the guy submitting is Rob Van Dam.
In a hardcore match.
You know, rumor has it that Rob Van Dam is going to be taking some time off, which is something we kind of touched on, I think.
Yeah.
Last week. And it's not a surprise, because we assumed, you know, he had a Brock Lesnar-type contract, schedule. And so he's going to go with that kind of schedule.
Yeah.
And they used up a lot of
his appearances right off the bat.
In the past few months.
And I'm sure he has more appearances in
I'm sure.
Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar, you know, you're lucky if you get him on 3 pay-per-views.
Yeah. I think he's down to, like, 6 appearances.
Yeah. So, it's fine. Moves along.
Mm-hmm.
And leaves the championship scene open, which we will get to.
We will get to.
Teaser for later in the show.
Yes.
That everybody knows what I'm talking about already. But we continue on.
Because it's called showmanship. next we have an unannounced match that just happened. The Real Americans, Jack Swagger and Antonio Cesaro, going up against Santino Marella and the Great Khali with Hornswoggle.
And the worth noting thing here is...
The Cesaro swing.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why this match was put together. They only brought out Santino... Because I guess they thought Swagger would feel bad if, you know, Cesaro came out and did a singles match on a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the only talking point about it is the swing in it. Yeah, it's incredibly impressive that he did that to Khali.
Mm-hmm.
I
wonder if they were trying out guys backstage, getting bigger and bigger, seeing who he could swing.
And we've gone through this before. Like, basically, almost the exact same thing happened whenever... You know, Cesaro started doing the neutralizer to bigger and bigger people, you know, and then basically he would do the neutralizer on somebody on main event, or I think it was Khali, did it on Khali, he pulled it off, and so he did it on Raw against Khali again, and they just replayed that over and over again, you know, kind of, you know, look at this guy's strength. So, I mean, that alone, like, didn't result in Cesaro getting pushed any kind of face turn. Like, now it kind of feels different. Like, now they really seem to be like,
yeah,
look at this amazing thing.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, commentary talked him up, both on Battleground and on Raw. Just, like, a lot of good things for Cesaro.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of it has to do with the clip of Cesaro doing the swing to Santino, mm-hmm. the first one, or the first one that of note.
Yeah.
And that getting picked up by outlets outside of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And it got a lot of play, so now WWE's kind of pouncing on that.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that the fans really like it.
Like Cesaro.
And yeah, they like Cesaro, they like what he can do, so people are finally kind of catching on that this guy's kind of amazing.
Yeah, good things for good people, I like it.
Yes.
So.
More of that, please.
You know, with this pocket at the top that's rapidly closing.
Yes.
This would be now the time for mid-carders to, you know, climb for that.
Mm-hmm. Next up, we have Curtis Axel and R-Truth going up against each other for the Intercontinental Championship. Yeah. Curtis Axel won. Like, I don't really know what else to say about it, you know. Except we got the R-Truth interview afterwards that they talked a lot about, where mm-hmm. he was really down on himself, and, you know, he's dedicated to getting a belt again. Fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is R-Truth 40 yet?
I'm not exactly sure off the top of my head, but I am positive that he's close.
Yeah.
He's reaching that point. May not have that many runs left in him, although he is in amazing shape.
I mean, that's the thing, he came out and did surprisingly well in the ring.
Yeah, like...
his ring was really good.
Oh, yeah. He moves around a lot. But, like, anytime you look at R-Truth's age, mm-hmm. you're always taken by surprise by the way he works in the ring. Like, you never would have guessed a guy his age can still do that.
Yeah.
So he keeps himself in great shape. So, who knows how long he can still do it.
I mean, he's in a title scene now. He got a tag match with Punk.
Yeah.
He's on the poster and the promo for Hell in a Cell.
And that was a pretty good promo. Like, that's one thing. He's really good at stuff like that. Like, to be honest, the best thing about Capital Punishment was his intro video at the very top of the show.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. And, again, it was, you know, a part of the whole Crazy Truth thing, mm-hmm. so... there's that too. I know, I miss it too. I miss our heel.
But, you know, this kind of character he was on the Hell in a Cell promo wasn't far off from. I mean, it was more of a face caricature, but, you know, it was more eccentric, and R-Truth does eccentric really well.
Yeah, it made me, what was Devon's, like, minister character?
Oh, I don't remember.
Was it Pastor Devon or something like that? Brother Devon.
That rings a bell.
It felt like, you know, are we going to get another Brother Devon or something? Which I would be fine with, because R-Truth, I'm sure he could play that character incredibly well. One thing about R-Truth, I will give it to him, like, he fully commits to whatever character he's in. It's just so now he doesn't really have much of a character. So he's just kind of, you know, kind of being
mugging
himself.
For kids.
Yeah. So, I say give him another character and see what he can do with it.
Yeah.
Because he did great things with Crazy Truth.
Yeah, no, I take it.
Mm-hmm. Next, we have AJ going up against Brie Bella for the Divas title.
With Tamina in
Tamina,
AJ's quarter.
Tamina
corner,
in her corner.
And Nikki in Brie's corner, obviously.
Yes.
Because that's how that's always going to work.
Yes.
This was fine.
I really thought this was a solid, good Divas match that kind of got a little bit soiled at the end with the roll-up, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to... AJ has proven that she can win matches on her own.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have a heavy with Tamina. It just... she doesn't need it. And it's one of those things, like, it's my running theory that whenever something is working with the Divas, they pile on as many Divas on that story as they can.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, because when was the last time we've seen Tamina? It, you know, since she had, like, a one-off match against AJ after she lost the manager job,
was
or the GM job.
Yeah, was her last storyline with Santino?
Full storyline, possibly.
Like, that was...
I wouldn't doubt that at all.
So, I mean, it's good to do something with her.
Right. I mean, yeah, she's going to get a paycheck. Might as well.
Look at her legacy. And,
right.
You know, she's got talent, and she's also in Hercules, so, you know, there's some easy... Did you not know she was in Hercules?
In Hercules?
Yeah. The movie?
The one with The Rock coming in?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, and so they're not going to
get...
I know
they're cousins or something like that.
Yeah. Well, there's something in there. But,
interesting.
But obviously, you know,
Joel's teaching me things.
They're not going to get The Rock to come back on the show to promote Hercules.
You sure about that?
No, I'm not sure about that.
I'm very sure that that Rock will gladly come back just to promote Hercules because he's done it in the past. It was called WrestleMania 27.
Well, that was Fast and Furious 5. That's a different story.
Oh, excuse me.
But, you know, this is a good way to be like, you know, Tamina's in the Hercules with The Rock. You remember The Rock? We made The Rock, you guys. Give us money.
Yes, absolutely. So yeah, AJ won with the roll-up. It looks like this Tamina thing is going to stick. Everyone's, from what I've read from, you know, various dirt sheets, is that they're planning kind of a Shawn Michaels Diesel type relationship here, which isn't that what all heavies are modeled after now? Like,
that's
not news to me.
That's what everything's modeled after. That's just taking Virgil and pumping him up.
Right, yeah, I'm sure, like, the whole Diesel and Shawn Michaels thing was modeled after something else. Probably, you know, well, Virgil wasn't necessarily heavy, he was just there.
That's what I'm saying, like, yeah.
He was just an extra man.
That's what a heavy is, it's just Virgil with more muscles.
There you go.
And it's gonna follow that storyline.
Yes.
Which, I mean, you know, it's a tried and true storyline, and, you know, I can only whine so much about it.
Yes.
It makes sense.
Yes.
So,
moving along, we have the Rhodes brothers, Goldust and Cody Rhodes, going up against Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. Dean Ambrose is in the Shield's corner, Dusty Rhodes in the Rhodes brothers' corners.
Match of the night?
Absolutely match of the night. Yeah, like, and what a match of the night. Like,
yeah.
Very well done. Goldust looked just as good as he's always been in the ring.
I forgot how good Goldust was.
Right?
Like, I mean, those things, like, when he leaves for a while... The gold dust antics start to, like, cloud my memory.
Right, and, you know, again, his match against Randy Orton was very good. Incredibly good. It was, you know, he obviously looked a little winded as the match wore on, but again, a guy his age still moving around like that, even for half, like, his even for half that
back.
And
against Randy Orton.
Absolutely.
And going toe-to-toe with Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
So,
absolutely. And I just want to point out, I don't know if a lot of people really noticed this, but I noticed it with me. I thought Cody looked incredibly strong at the end.
But that was the crossroads and a half.
That was a crossroads and a half. Like, Cody Rhodes was in the air himself, like, completely spinning in the air, hitting it. And, you know, even before that, he basically, you know, with a few run-ins here and there, he basically took care of the Shield single-handedly in that last bit.
Yeah.
You know? And that was, you know, while all that other stuff was going on outside the ring. Yeah. But in order for them to get outside the ring, Cody pretty much cleared it.
No, it was good. And for those who've been listening to our WrestleMania series and listening to me complain about tag team matches more than I should, I do like tag team matches. This match was so good.
It really was. And it wasn't even like any sort of different format of a tag. It wasn't a tornado tag. It wasn't anything. It was a regular tag team match, but there was story, and there were incredible athletes being incredible and not just sitting back and just, you know, acting like it was a regular Raw match or something.
No.
You know? And that's something that we're really noticing about Cody is how good he can be in high-pressure situations. Like, matches that mean something. Like, you know, he was good at Money in the Bank. He was... You know, when that was on the line, he was good at Cody versus Sandow at SummerSlam because, you know, this was something that they obviously were wanting to build towards and they were finally doing that on a huge pay-per-view. Yeah. So, of course, he's going to put forth the effort. And he was great against the match against Randy.
Yeah.
And he was great here. So, I think that's... Well, Cody just needs to learn to do that for every match as long as he has the energy to do so.
I think Cody... knows that it's now or never. This is his moment.
Yes.
To be on the top or forever main card.
And we've said it before, if Cody cannot get over and stay over with this program that they're going with now, then by all means he has no chance.
Yeah.
Ever.
No chance.
No chance in hell, yes, I know. Like, yes. Anyone would just kill for an opportunity like this.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, warnings aside, like, he's doing fine with it so far, I think.
No, absolutely. Like, he shows no signs of ruining it so far, and the fans show no signs of disliking the storyline. So, yeah.
Also, Dean Ambrose took a bionic elbow.
Yes, he did take a bionic elbow.
I'm sure that's a bucket list check mark for him.
Yeah, a lot of people were asking about, because he had his knuckles taped, and he wrote on it, Aaron Boy. And a lot of people were like, why was that? And apparently it was a reference to this really obscure Dusty Rhodes promo back in the day. I forgot who he was up against, but basically was a recreation of Apocalypse Now. Like, it had face paint. It was really dark. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's on Reddit if anyone wants to look it up. That, and I just looked that up, like, before we recorded the podcast. So.
Alright.
So there was a reason, and it shows how big of a fan Dean Ambrose was, because that was pretty obscure. I've never heard of that promo before.
Yeah. So.
So next we have Bray Wyatt going up against Kofi.
Two things happened in this match.
Okay.
I'll do mine so you can do yours. Okay. Mine was Kofi Kingston got an ECW chant.
And I know exactly when that happened, because we both made a point to point this out. It was just doing a front flip over the top rope onto all three of the members of the Wyatt family.
Yeah.
Something that he always does.
Yeah. It's an impressive move. Like,
no, by all means, yes. But also, I don't think Kofi was in ECW at any point. Not even the resurrected ECW.
No.
I don't think. I could be wrong.
I'm sure he had something in the resurrected one.
But how is that anything to do with ECW? I don't know. Like, fans are so dumb.
Let's be really nice. And these guys are just having such a good time. Like, however you feel about the card, sitting at home on your couch being grouchy. Oh, we're getting stared at.
I never get stared at bad just because I called a fans dumb.
You watch wrestling.
We watch wrestling. Yes. Yes. And
apparently we're fans that look down on other fans.
No, and honestly, that,
all
no.
I invite you over here because you make a podcast.
Well, when you have a vehicle, drive it.
Excuse me for interrupting you.
That's fine. No, it's okay. That's what the crowd's for. Okay.
They're at Battleground. They're having fun. Right. We said that. Right. When go to Raw, it's the best episode ever.
Yes.
I'll chant ECW if the guy next to me is chanting ECW.
Okay, to be honest, the only time we've ever chanted ECW was when Paul Heyman returned.
Yeah, that's good.
And it sounded like we were the only ones chanting that. And again, like, of all times to chant it, that's the time.
Fair enough.
But I think fans are a little bit too happy with that, chant.
It's a card with Paul Heyman on, obviously, yeah.
Yeah.
But really, with Rob Van Dam on it. And he didn't get the ECW chant.
I did rewatch it. I think he did get one or two. But they were faint, and not enough to where I would really notice it.
It wasn't a chant. It was one guy.
Yes.
Chanting his little heart out.
Yes.
All right. What's yours? What happened that you want to remember from this match?
I thought this was a good step for Bray Wyatt.
Mm-hmm.
This was really, this should have been his first match.
Yeah.
Instead of the Ring of Fire.
Yeah.
It showed off a lot more of Bray Wyatt. You saw a little bit of that, oh, well, how do they describe him when he was in Nexus?
Creepy?
No. Like, his fighting style. He was,
bizarre?
Like a... No.
Oh, the tank with
Yes, he was a Sherman tank with a Ferrari engine.
Yeah.
You saw a little bit more of that. Like, yeah, the match started off slow. Mm-hmm. I'll admit that. But that last half of the match, I thought they were really firing on all cylinders, and I thought it was impressive.
And then
the backwards crawly thing that was incredibly creepy.
Yes,
that was fantastic. Like,
and then the exorcist happened in the middle of wrestling. What was that?
I don't know.
It made me pick my feet off the floor.
I don't know. Well, yeah, it obviously had the same effect on Kofi. And I will say, like, his execution of his finisher at the end was incredibly impressive, because we always saw the slow setup and all that stuff, and then he hits it. This one, you know, he pretty much hit it in stride, and I don't know if he's going to be able to pull that off against anyone, because it is Kofi, and he's a very fast, bendy guy.
Yeah.
So, there's that, but I really thought this was a good step for Bray Wyatt. It was a good match for him. No interference from the Wyatt family, which is something you always got to worry about.
Yeah.
But I thought for Bray Wyatt, this was a good step for him.
It was a great match for him. Yes. And what he's doing a really good job of, mm-hmm. and it's something I tend to have, I don't really have a complaint with it, because right. The Undertaker's a huge offender of it, and I don't want to be mad at the Undertaker.
You don't want to speak ill of Undertaker, yes.
Yeah, but they are characters only outside the ropes. And as soon as they get inside the ropes, they're just wrestlers.
Yes.
And this pertains largely to super characterized people.
Yes.
Fandango is, you know, a little better, but, you know, he is super dancing outside the ropes and just as a wrestler inside the ropes.
Right.
Bray Wyatt is doing a really good job of being the character while he wrestles.
Yes. And wrestling convincingly.
Yes.
Like, he can convincingly dismantle somebody.
Yes.
While being creepy.
So.
I absolutely agree. I'm glad we're finally kind of...
I am dipping my toes into being invested in these characters.
Yeah, yeah, and because you saw me be fully invested and kind of get burned when he really didn't do much mm-hmm. Since SummerSlam.
Yeah.
So, I'm just hoping that Miz doesn't ruin it too much. That promo was
awkward. Blame it on the Miz.
It was awkward.
It was awkward.
And I don't know who to... Like, it could very well be just as much Bray Wyatt's fault as it is Miz.
I don't know, they build that as Miz TV, starring Miz with guest Miz.
Yeah.
Like, it was set up for awkwardness.
Right.
But, anyway.
Yes.
I don't have a lot to say about the Miz.
No. Next we have CM Punk going up against Ryback with Paul Heyman.
Mm-hmm.
Decent enough match, you know, it's CM Punk.
It's CM Punk, and I'll never say an unkind word about him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I'm smitten.
Yeah, and, you know, the finish, it was fine, you know. It was, it kind of harkens back to CM Punk really isn't there to win matches.
Yeah.
He's really there just to get to Paul Heyman,
mm-hmm.
you know, and kicking Ryback in the nuts really doesn't really, you know. CM Punk doesn't care about the match.
Well,
you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, granted, he ended up winning because the ref was looking, but...
Yeah.
Still.
I mean, you're going a lot into, like, details, you know. I think you're thinking more about this than they thought about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, and that's usually the case.
Yeah. I think they're really trying to, now that CM Punk is face again, kind of keep that face with an edge.
Yeah.
Because they want Stone Cold.
Right. And to be honest with you, I think... Punk can walk that line better than most.
Yeah, Punk's the guy to do it with. Yes.
Like, he's a guy who could remain a face while completely, you know, laying into a large fan on the sides.
Exactly. You know? So, no, it's fine, and it's better because CM Punk's in it.
Yes, absolutely. After this, we got a nice, I guess, WWE decided that they wanted to schedule their own bathroom break with a power outage.
Yes.
It's something that you pointed out, and I'm really starting to become a believer of this.
Yeah.
Because when the lights came back up, and they're like, oh, sorry for the technical difficulties, all of a sudden their ringside was the WWE Championship,
mm-hmm.
sitting there all fluffy.
Yeah.
The running conspiracy is that the Almighty Vacant made his ring entrance, and that's what the power outage was.
Yeah,
because it was like a very long extended. It's like Bray Wyatt's entrance and Undertaker's entrance put together.
Yeah,
for a good 10 minutes.
Yeah,
and it took a really long time.
Well, it takes Vacant a while.
It does take Vacant a while. It's hard whenever you know you're not real.
Yes.
To bring your championship to the ring.
So...
Yes.
Match is fine.
Yes. The match, Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, it was fine. It was one of the... Again, at this point, merely a fan, merely a spectator. Like, I try to cut my brain off and just watch. Because mm-hmm. Daniel Bryan is doing something special these days.
Yeah.
Incredible. And give all credit to Randy Orton. You know, he's definitely picked up his game as well.
Yeah.
And we ended with Big Show just... Well, you want to touch on something first?
Here's the thing is, with this match, I've seen these guys go at it before.
Yes.
and they went at it better last time than they did this time. And that's fine. You know, sometimes yes. they'll have better matches and worse matches. I get that. But with this one, I was kind of ready to get to the end because I wanted to know how the story was going to progress.
Yes.
I was more interested in that than these guys because I've seen them fight before. But again, it was these guys. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It was a good match. But yeah, it ended with Big Show punching out
everybody.
Yeah.
He came out, pulled the ref, punched Daniel Bryan.
Well, that's the thing. He stopped Daniel Bryan from getting a 3 count, then punched out Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
And the world groaned. Because it was going to be a Big Show heel turn.
Yes.
The world groaned. Audible groans from yes. every four corners.
And Brad Axe came out and motioned for the next referee to come out, which ended up being Scott Armstrong,
yeah.
the referee that was fired after last month's pay-per-view. Scott Armstrong comes in, and he does the count and gets pulled out by Big Show. Falcon punched in the face, and then Randy started yelling at him and probably saying terrible things about his mother. And then Big Show threw one of the weakest punches I've ever seen.
That was a pretty bad whiff of a punch.
Like, it looked like I'm going to, like, they're there, champ, you know?
It was a bad punch, yes. Right.
And end of pay-per-view. Like, I was like, surely something will happen now, right? But no.
Here's the thing. Storyline, I get. You know, this is a twist in story. However, yes. obviously, this is a twist in story. You have to tune in next time to see what's going on.
Yes.
I get that. But if you're... Even the tiniest shred of kayfabe, the main event of your show was ruined.
Yes.
That is bad.
Yes.
And so... No.
Correct.
Stop it.
Correct. The match never officially ended.
Mm-mm.
There was no bell.
No bell.
No, nothing. For all we know, there's still an Imagine in Buffalo.
What's going on? There's like one angry fan being like, nope,
still waiting for the end. The bell's not even there anymore. I'm pretty sure Buffalo's probably setting up that stadium for a concert or something. He's still going to stand there.
Waiting for the end.
Security has tried so hard to get rid of him.
At least... It's not WrestleMania 27.
Yes.
Because yes. they did the exact same thing at WrestleMania 27.
Yes.
I mean, they had a ding of a bell, but they did the exact same thing. And it was WrestleMania.
Well, no. Well, Rock just came out in the tag scene, though.
Yeah.
So, not exactly the same thing. It would have been like... okay. This would have been like Rock coming out, taking out Cena, taking out Miz, and just walking away with the belt. Don't even, like, not even a bell rung. He's like, this is mine now. I dare you to take it from me.
That wouldn't have been as bad, because we got that only a year and a half of that.
Yes.
Instead of it all happening in one night, okay.
Yes.
I'll take it.
Yes.
But, yeah, no. This is bad. Not as bad as WrestleMania 27.
Agreed.
And when I'm down... Down and sad.
So
that's how I cheer myself up.
Okay, so I heard you say quite a few good things about this pay per view, but yet you still feel negative reactions to it, like a negative feeling about the overall pay per view.
I feel indifferent.
Okay.
Which, because it's a pay per view, is bad.
Okay.
So, you know, it's the kind of thing where, and the best example is the CM Punk match. Which was fine, but it was CM Punk. It's like the prequels. The Star Wars prequels are B-minus movies. But you can say, yeah, but it's Star Wars, so they're B+. Or you can say, yeah, but it's Star Wars, and Star Wars is held to a higher standard. It's a D-minus.
Right, yeah.
You know? Like,
it's a B+ for any other movie, but for Star Wars, it's D.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and that's kind of how I felt about, like, the CM Punk specifically okay. match. Is like, it's a fine match, but it's CM Punk, so it's still a good match.
Right, it's
or
like,
CM Punk is held to a higher standard, so because he had a fine match, that's actually a bad match.
It's like whenever I do my math system, you know, but a lot of it is like, oh, okay, well, CM Punk's in this match, so it's automatically going to start at four,
mm-hmm.
four maths. So it can only go from there.
Yeah. So, because it's a pay-per-view, it's held to a higher standard.
Okay.
Thus, an okay is a bad. Yeah, and that's a lot of things. A lot. Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton hit okay for me. CM Punk, Ryback hit okay for me. Mm. In fact, I would say everything that wasn't the tag team match, or actually the, because there's two tag team matches, the yeah. Shield and Rhodes Family tag team match, hit an okay.
Mm.
Like, a match as a whole.
Right.
So, and then you had stuff like Rob Van Dam and Del Rio being in a extreme match with quotation marks around
it. Right.
And stuff. So, and again, this is, you know.
So your thing is basically a lukewarm is terrible.
It's not terrible.
Okay.
Not at Champions was terrible.
Fair enough.
and yeah, in a good things, looking on the bright side kind of thing, looking at it as this is after Night of Champions, is great. We're back on the right track.
Right.
Not Night of Champions.
Yes.
So yeah.
Baby steps.
There you go.
There you go. So I guess there's a few things from Raw we should touch on.
A few quick touches of Raw.
What specifically would you like?
The big one.
The big one?
Yeah.
So...
How do you feel?
I...
Oh, John Cena's back, but by the way, you
yeah,
guys...
Yes, yes, I'm incredibly confused, because by the time Hell in a Cell, like, the night of Hell in a Cell hits, the night he comes back,
mm-hmm.
he will have been gone for just over 2 months. His recovery time was supposed to be 4 to 6.
John Cena no-sold that surgery, man.
He no-sold the crap out of that surgery. And he's coming back now. I guess the one selling point of that Hell in a Cell is, hey, Smarks, come watch this pay-per-view. John Cena's arm I rip off.
Yeah.
And then he will beat Alberto Del Rio with one arm. He's going to no-sell that arm detachment.
You know, the thing is, with Twitter as it is today, like, we saw when Cena had the surgery, yes. and it was, like, right after.
We know when he got the stitches out.
Yeah. So, and, you know, look at his track record. Like, he has never stayed out for the expected amount of time. He is always back 2, 3, 4 months early.
Yeah, and from what we see with numbers, the ratings aren't as good as they would have hoped. But again... Yeah. You also have to factor in Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, Monday Night Football games aren't that great, but America would always rather watch football against anything.
Yeah, it's a thing, and it's the same demographic.
Yes.
So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you need to suck it up wrestling and mm-hmm. know that you're going to take a hit.
But positive thing is they're having him return immediately against the World Heavyweight Champion.
Mm-hmm.
So he's... It would have been so easy for them to put Cena in this corporation, Daniel Bryan angle.
Yeah.
But it seems so far, you know, this is only after 1 5-minute segment.
Mm-hmm.
It seems so far that John Cena, like, handing things off to Daniel Bryan is going, you know, going to take hold so far.
They are not abandoning this story.
Mm-mm.
And as much as, and that's the thing, is like, as much as it feels like they are scrambling to get Cena back to save the numbers,
mm-hmm.
which is that's my worst fear, is mm-hmm. that they looked at the numbers and said, nope, can't do it without Cena.
Cena come back now.
Yeah. Because there will be a day where Cena cannot.
Yes. And which might be the day after Hell in a Cell.
Yeah. So, and they need to prepare for that. And if that takes a while for sucky numbers to build a guy and, you know, your new Cena up,
mm-hmm.
you're... And the longer you keep seeing at the top, the worse that hit's going to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, it's the thing where I'm worried that that's the thing. They're just, let's save face.
They're rushing back just because of ratings. Good.
Because they have not put him in the WWE title, that's a good sign for me. That means they still have faith in that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they still see the crowd reaction
mm-hmm.
for that people give for Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Which, you know, when you see something like that on TV, you know, you have to assume that people watching that are going to be like, oh, okay, there's something about this guy that I should like, or yeah. I should at least look into and see if I like.
Yeah. There's also a possibility, Cena's in the World Heavyweight Championship, maybe they'll take the World Heavyweight Championship seriously again.
Yeah. I mean...
What if Cena appeared on SmackDown?
I wouldn't believe exclusively, but
no, obviously not exclusively. But nobody, I mean, nobody appears on SmackDown exclusively anymore.
Very true.
Maybe Teddy Long.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. But there is one bad thing though with Cena coming back, and it's something that we haven't really touched on. This kind of closes the door on certain guys who we were hoping would get some sort of,
yeah,
something out of. Mm-hmm. This kind of closes the door a little bit on Damian Sandow. He's still got the Money in the Bank, so there's a crack in that door.
Yeah.
This kind of makes things a little bit more difficult for our boy Ziggler.
It does. It does.
Unless they put him towards WWE Championship, but that's a storyline I don't see ending anytime soon. Mm-hmm.
That's full.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
granted, Cena will need heels to fight.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's there for him to fight? Like, what is he gonna go after he gets done with Del Rio? Swagger?
No.
Exactly.
Swaggy time is over.
Swaggy time is over.
I don't know. Like, it's a thing where it's... Somehow it seemed empty, and then with Cena back, it's one guy, but it seems overcrowded.
Right,
again.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I want great things for Ziggler.
Yeah, I do too.
I want such good things. And maybe Cena coming back means Big E gets his repush.
And yeah, because we did hear rumors that... you know, the reason Big E got such a good debut and, you know, right off the bat was because of, you know,
Cena vouching for him.
So, some people are saying that since Cena's been gone, we haven't seen Big E because there's no one to vouch for him.
Yeah. Another thing with him coming back so early is this was the last moment for WWE to get a large positive reaction for Cena.
Yes.
It's, you know, the return face pop kind of thing.
Yeah.
This is it. And I don't think he's been gone long enough.
No.
Me neither. He's not missed yet by those that would boo. So, well, yeah. And some will always boo. Like, that, you know.
Right, you're never gonna really escape that, but, yeah, like, I think, yeah, there are certain guys that when they leave... They could have left under everyone just booing him out the building.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a certain amount of time, he comes back and he gets the biggest cheer ever.
Chris Jericho.
Yeah, Chris Jericho could do that. He could do that in his sleep, almost.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't think it's been long enough for that to happen. I don't think it's been long enough for his elbow.
I'm worried about that elbow.
I'm genuinely worried about this dude, his elbow, and it just completely ripping apart.
Yeah.
Again.
Time will tell, man.
Time will tell. What else on Raw should we cover?
Ricardo won.
Ricardo was in a match against Alberto Del Rio, and he won. Sure was a roll-up. Sure was like two seconds long. I don't care.
Ricardo won a match.
And he took a really sick bump on the announcer table.
It's because he's the best.
Because he's the best, and we should see more of him.
Yes.
Yes.
Always and forever.
Always and forever. Our boy Ricardo.
Yes.
Friend of a show.
We like Ricardo a lot. That was like the giddiest part. Like, I feel like my cheers were mistaken for the world of being cheering about Cena back when I was really just excited.
Again, that was something on Twitter. I was like in the middle of typing a fangirl tweet about Ricardo being in a match, and then like the Cena thing happened. I was like, should I say something about Cena first? Nope, keep going.
No.
And I reacted to Cena, you know, long after the match was over.
So.
Very, very much a secondary thought for me.
Of course. Yeah. Ricardo won a match.
Exactly.
We're excited. Yeah, but that's it.
I feel like that was more... Oh, Lord. Might as well touch on something horrible that happened. Something hideous happened. Something ungodly happened. An abomination, if you will. That six diva tag match.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Shawn Michaels shaved his beard.
Well, that too. I'm angry about that, because that beard was glorious.
If you say so.
It was a great, great beard.
Yeah, but he didn't have it. So now he won't be mistaken for a tree man.
Fine. But yes, that that six diva tag match.
What happened?
Well, on one side we had Natalia, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
With Eva Marie
and JoJo.
And JoJo.
Yeah, no, I remember. I literally don't remember what happened.
And then on the other side, we had Alicia Fox, Rosa Mendez.
Who's now blonde.
Who's now blonde. Oksana. Who now has short hair.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the ones who didn't know how to wrestle just came out and tried to wrestle. Basically, it was Eva Marie and
JoJo.
No. JoJo didn't even get in the match. JoJo never got in the match. Because it was... I'm assuming it was that bad, and Natalia was like, okay, this is enough. I'm gonna come in, you guys tag Alicia Fox, we're vets, we'll get through this, and we'll just end this now.
Yeah.
It was bad. And, like... And you would expect a little bit more out of people who's been in the company for a little bit, like Oksana and, mm-hmm. and Rosa Mendez. No. They were just as terrible as the noobs.
Yeah. AJ had a concussion.
Yeah, AJ had a concussion. Yes, it's important enough to say AJ had a concussion, so her absence was very, 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 very noticed.
Yeah.
Also should mention, Bob Backlund showed up on Raw this week and yelled at everyone.
And got like 30% of the vote.
For no, I still don't understand why he was yelling at everyone.
So this just in, we can now announce.
And then he couldn't find their exit.
30% of the voting audience wants the world to burn.
Yes, that was me. I voted for Bob Backlund because I want to see what Bob Backlund would do in Hell in a Cell.
He would walk out champion.
No. He would be champion and then spend like 15 minutes trying to find the door.
Oh, in Hell in a Cell. So you just seem like walking around trying everything.
Now, had it been a cage match, he would have climbed over because he's an old pro.
That man's so fun. I love him.
Oh, I still don't understand why he was yelling.
He was passionate.
I can see that. That's why he got 30% of the vote. Yeah. In Port Booker.
Port Booker! Do they know that? Like, did they have the information?
They're like, okay, Booker, you're not going to win this, so you just...
Well, obviously.
We can't have a two-person vote. Come on.
Obviously, Shawn Michaels was going to win.
Right, like, Yeah, like, that was pretty much the first thing I typed whenever I heard Shawn Michaels' music, and I was just like, poor Booker.
And that's the thing, is, like, you know, you do have a little bit of, like, he trained Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
And he's Triple H's best friend.
Yes, you have that dynamic.
Although he's totally biased against Vacant retaining.
Oh, Lord. you thought his rivalry was with Bret Hart was heated behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
He and Vacant go a long ways back.
He was clearly not going to let that happen.
He misplaced Shawn's smile.
He did.
He stole Shawn's smile and hit it. Probably under a very heavy rock.
This might be the dumbest joke we've ever made.
I don't care. He beat up Shawn at a bar late one night. And he gave up the title.
You're making it dumber.
And then he put the belt on Diesel. And then they had a fight with two belts.
Stop making it dumb.
Vacant is a bad, bad man.
Only in Shawn Michaels' eyes.
That's what I'm saying. They have a very storied history.
All right. Is that it for Raw?
And also, he was nowhere to be found in Montreal in 97. Knocked it out the park.
Oh, my gosh. That's it for Raw, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Sing your stupid song and let's wrap this up.
There's something we need to talk about. I thought it was interesting that... on WWE.com, if you check their rosters, you know, there's Fernando and Diego, the members of Los Matadores.
Mm-hmm.
Primo and Epico are still there. Is that some sort of record that the same people are on there twice?
I don't know.
I don't... I understand why they haven't taken those down, because they were like, they're not the same guys, not at all, everyone, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Is there any chance... I mean, the only thing I could think of would be Mick Foley.
Fair enough. Good point.
If that was happening today, Mick Foley would have
yes,
at least two profiles, probably three to four.
Yes.
So
maybe one for Santa Claus.
One for Santa Claus. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, we're getting looked at again.
That's right, it's time for the mail sack! Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, let's all go inside. Mail sack, mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, mail sack, it's your mail sack. First off, this comes from a follower of on Twitter of ours, all the way across the proverbial pond. I hate that phrase, and I just used it, and I hate myself, and I will punch myself before I go to bed tonight.
I'll punch you. It's okay.
I wanted to include his first tweet just because I thought it was important to note that people like us. This is at Chris Howcroft. You're my favorite podcast, and he spelled it with a U. How UK of him.
How UK?
Yes. Yeah, you're my favorite podcast. You're heard over here in England, and more people should listen to you. Hashtag drunken ramblings.
We agree.
We agree, and to that point, I agreed so much that I favorited and retweeted. And when that happened, he responded with this. Genuinely giddy that at CR Attire retweeted me, and yes, I am drunk, but they need to mention Wade Barrett more. Hashtag national pride. Hashtag fellow northern boy. Say something about Wade Barrett, Joel.
He did that bang bang thing once.
He did do that bang bang thing.
Which I think means I'm technically more of a Wade Barrett fan than you are.
Yes.
Sucking up.
Yes.
I do like that he did bang bang once.
Yes. I mean, I will say this. I liked Wade Barrett's previous theme music than the God Save the Queen one. Because that one just sounded weird. And had odd timing. He has had the worst luck with theme music. And I think that has something to do with him not really getting pushed. Because just from the get-go, everyone's like, what do we do? Do we boo? Do we clap? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
I asked this question in genuine curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
But in an effort to suck up to England and get more English listeners, which I'm totally willing to do, can I talk nicely about William Regal?
Oh, by all means, I will talk all day.
I adore William Regal.
Yes, he's a man's man.
Yes. So, get back to us on that. I'm genuinely curious.
Like, I to this day, I don't understand why William Regal is not on some commentating booth. Other than, he's on NXT from time to time. I want him, like, weekly on a main show.
To be fair, I honestly want William Regal and JBL to be the commentaries. I just want mean commentators.
That would be fair. And see the thing, William Regal, he doesn't really have to be mean. He just has to be William Regal and tell those weird stories that he told on the next day about his cousin who lost both of his hands and was a famous donut thief. That was the best thing I've ever heard in my life.
Didn't he lock his twin children in the basement? Or
Siamese twin children?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Either the basement or the attic.
He fed them chicken broth or something?
Yes. William Regal.
I love those. That's one of the main reasons why I loved NXT Redemption.
Yeah,
was stuff like that.
It was for William Regal. That's
absolutely. And then we were like,
and then Creepy Curtis.
Yeah, Creepy Curtis.
Yeah,
Creepy Curtis.
All right.
Next up in the mail sack, our friend Neil. He sent us this, and this was in reaction to his submission into the mail sack last week, where he asked us what would happen if there was a double DQ over a vacant title. And he sent in this to kind of gloat. How right was Neil to ask what happened in the event of a disqualification in last week's mail sack? I answered this. You are wrong, sir. There was no DQ because that match never ended.
There was no DQ.
Nope. There was no bell.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
So
take that, Neil.
Match is still going.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't you send us another obscure math problem to solve again? That was great the first time.
What? What?
What, what? So yeah, that was pretty much it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alright. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, at CR Attire. We live tweet every Monday, appropriate Sundays. Join in. It's oodles of fun.
Absolutely. I have a blast doing that every week. If you have questions, comments, anything you want us to talk about here on the show, send those to our email. That's classroomringattire@gmail.com. Also, it's getting that time, folks. And have you been a good boy or a naughty boy or girl or whatever.
You didn't plan for this ahead of time, did you?
No, I didn't. But I'm gonna soldier on. We're sending out Christmas postcards to all of our dear friends, which includes you, the listeners, because you are our dear friends. So if you would like a Christmas postcard featuring Miz as champion from his Mary Miz or Miz Carol,
yeah,
featuring Michael Cole as the ghost of Miz's past. So if you want that,
remember those days,
yeah. That was a great 7-minute segment. I loved it. And it was the weirdest opening to a Raw that I've ever seen. So, yeah, if you want a Classroom Ring Attire postcard, email us.
Yeah.
That's classroomringattire@gmail.com.
All right. Remember, we are also on iTunes. You find us on iTunes. You can subscribe there. You can give us a review. You can give us a rating of
5 stars.
We really enjoy it. It helps out the podcast. Helps out you, the listener.
Yes. And if you're listening to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. You might even get read on here on the show, just like Zork last week. Mm-hmm. While you're there, go ahead and check out all the great articles that's up. I have a 10 thoughts on Raw up this week. I will have my full synopsis of Battleground. Our friend Jeff, he had a great first article last week. I highly suggest you guys check that one out, and he'll have a new one out same day as my article, I believe. Joel, he's planning on writing something this week.
Yeah, should be returning. So,
by all means, go check all that stuff out, and, you know, show them some love.
And finally, the WrestleMania series continues.
Yes.
By the time you're listening to this, WrestleMania 4 should be live, and yes, the only way to get that is to subscribe to us on iTunes.
Do it.
The WrestleMania centric episodes are specifically available on our iTunes feed.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.